Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
People like Bill Capella, Eric Graves, Clever Pun, people like this make it possible for us to exist. And without them, well, we go away. Help us stay. Sign up at patreon.com/TMS today. Coming up on the morning stream, Foaling for Boof.
Have I done my taxes because I like really wanted to know?
Sell the cats, lease the basement.
This episode is a business expense.
Old One Sock Johnson.
You know Carol Channing, no Ernest Borgnine, got $50, and no Lieutenant Yar.
Salami jeans.
Grandma got run over by the slip and slide.
Dirty dirt sandpile.
Boot cut salami.
Turns out the key to success is plagiarism.
Turns out the key, no prom Dunaway.
I'm into chonky veggies.
Don't mainline apple pie.
Tyrannosaurus president.
What color are Robin's thighs? Because again, I like really wanted to know, with Stephen and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
It's obviously because somebody leaked the news. I'd wager Daeguin's second son, Sosro, had a hand in it. Daeguin has been trying to get Daikun out of the way for ages, and so that's why he poisoned him.
Mr. Rawl, don't say these things in front of the children.
Pinch me, Mr. Ho.
This is The Morning Stream with Scott Johnson and Brian Ibbett. Big ol' freaking dirt blanket.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to TMS. It is The Morning Stream for... what is today? Monday, April 15th. It's the literal middle of the month.
It's literal tax day.
Oh, shit. It is tax day. Oh, man. Have I done my taxes? I hope so. No, I know I've done my taxes.
Yeah, you know you've done your taxes. I know I've done my taxes, and boy, did we have a scare last week.
You never gave us a follow-up. How'd it go?
Oh, yeah. So a couple people in chat, I want to say Racer951Y was the name that sticks out to me as bringing up to check and make sure that the stupid things that lift charges can be used as tax, are tax deductible. They absolutely are. And, you know, I'll just do a really quick description of how stupid this whole lift thing is. So, all right. From my house, I drive somebody to Boulder. I'm going to get paid $15, right? So I open up the app. I say, oh, I would like to drive. And then I get ding, and then it says, oh, Bill would like to go to Boulder. Great, $15.
Right.
And it says, you'll get $15 for this ride. Now, Bill is paying about $30.
Right, they get half.
Somebody left is making a killing for doing nothing.
For running an app and keeping it updated.
Exactly, for maintaining app updates. I mean, yeah. I know that there's, you know, they've got to pay for their mapping stuff, and there's all sorts of insurance stuff they've got to pay, but whatever.
Yeah.
So let's say I do that 1,000 times over the course of a year, right? I make $15,000.
Right.
Lyft reports my income as $30,000, and then they say, yep, you made $30,000 this year, and you paid us $15,000 for the use of our app and platform fees and service fees and blah, blah, blah. Like, yeah. It was primarily a $6,000 thing and then a $7,000
thing. It's almost like they switch it as if they're contracting for you and not the other way around, kind of.
Correct, yes. Yeah. And it's so that they can do non-employee compensation and have a whole different, like, you know, they're it's a smart way for them to do it because they make a lot of money doing it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
If a driver doesn't pay attention to this, they can really end up owing a lot of money. Like at one point last week, our tax accountant, our CPA, said, yeah, it looks like you guys would probably be owing about $5,500 to federal.
Jeez.
And Gina and I are both like, okay, well,
that's bad.
Sell one of the cats. We can we can lease the basement to some people from Guatemala that are coming into Colorado. We could do this. And yeah. We're figuring out like what we can cut.
No.
And that's when I thought of the tax thing and said, well, can we tax? And then somebody confirmed it, Racer951, a few people in chat confirmed it, which helped a lot. So thank you. I owe somebody a drink in Vegas. Mm. And yeah, and basically those two things, actually any fees that we pay to Lyft are considered a business expense and therefore we can write them off. So
when you buy a little cable kit or you buy water or
right.
any of that
when
stuff.
When I buy gas, when yeah. I did that, you know, $6,000 repair on my car last year that I'm still paying my mom back for.
Yeah.
That was that's deductible. That is a business expense too. So
that's good. So yeah, it turns out I always felt like I was cheating a little bit, but my accountant's like, no, count every drink you buy, count yeah. every case.
We do shows that feature movies on streaming services, so of course, streaming services that we pay for are a business expense for us.
Yep, every video game I buy, Game Pass yeah. every month, PSN Plus, all that stuff, all of
that's
it.
That's a core business expense. This is a film sec business expense. This is recommendals. Oh, I talk about the movies that I saw at Alamo Drafthouse, which makes Alamo Drafthouse movies a business expense.
That's right. Driving a car to Vegas, I get to count it.
You do absolutely get to count it. Yeah. You bought the car specifically so you could drive to Vegas as a business expense. So
yeah, well, exactly. Maybe not that, but that's how it looks on the paperwork anyway. So I freaking hate tax stuff, but I'm glad to hear that you were alleviated a bit from that. Lord.
Yes, yeah, we still owe money, but not nearly what it was that we were going to be paying.
Well, there you go.
So.
Then.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So for this week only, if you're going to be donating to the MS-150, my bike ride, my charity ride for MS, make those payments out to coverville@gmail.com, and I'll make sure that MS gets the money. It's
100%.
Totally fine. Totally on board.
All above board. Yeah. Nothing weird about that at all.
Just give it to me, and I'll make the,
No one will investigate that. It'll be
fine. No, not at all.
The honor system, the entire thing. Well, so here we are, day four, I guess now. Well, let's see. Kim left Thursday, so I guess 4 days. Mm-hmm. Day four of Kim not being here. And here's the good news about all that.
Are you walking around with tissue boxes for shoes yet? Or
no, but I am literally wearing one sock right now, Brian.
Paper towel underwear. Are you really? You're just wearing one sock?
Yeah, the other one fell off a minute ago. Here it is. This is the sock. I'll put it back on.
It fell off.
Yeah, I had it kind of hanging here a little bit because I went down to scratch my ankle, and then I just let it dangle, and then it fell. And then I was like, okay. And then I pinched it with my other foot, picked it up, held it up. And it's just all bad behavior. This is all bullshit that I'm doing.
Yeah, yeah.
So I gotta get it together before she gets home. Yeah. But while she was gone, or before she left, she said, hey, I'm going to make you a giant batch of jambalaya so you guys have this, this batch just to kind of feed on all week. And I said, that's great. And then she spaced it. She forgot. She bought all the ingredients. We had everything to make it, but it got to the time where she's like, oh, shoot, I'm not going to have time to make it. And so Carter and I said, no worries. We'll make it. We got this. We'll put it together. How hard can it be? We say to ourselves.
Sure.
So we did that yesterday. And was that yesterday?
Well,
no,
Carter
Saturday.
Cooks. I've seen her make that egg don that.
Oh yeah, she's good.
She gives you every once in a while.
She's actually good. I felt like I was in good hands because I don't cook. I'm terrible. Mm-hmm. So she and I did it, and here's the best part: we're gonna put up a video of it. you're gonna see how poorly I cut things like onions and what do you call them? Peppers. I'm not great at it. Mm-hmm. My knuckles are too close to the blade. I get impatient and I chop like this.
Oh gosh, no! That's and your knuckles are what you want against the blade. Like you want to basically hold the thing you're cutting so that the thing that's closest to the blade are your knuckles, and the blade just kind of moves up and down. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, and you want to keep these tips away. Well, let's just say I was mostly okay at doing that, but there were a couple of moments.
So there might be a little bit of. Finger in the jambalaya.
No, there were. Thankfully, I didn't cut anything, but it did look precarious. And also, I like the vegetables inside of a good jambalaya to be super chunky. I'm into that.
Yeah.
Good news.
Super fine. You want a rough cut.
Yeah, and the good news is I'm very impatient when it comes to cutting, and so it all worked out. So they are very big chunks in this thing.
Yeah, they're just like you basically like a 2-bite piece of pepper, basically. Yeah.
And at one point, I got into a sneezing fit because I got Cajun pepper in my nose. And anyway, it'll be an entertaining.
Oh, I cannot wait for the video. My gosh,
we'll put that up a little bit later. In fact, I just got it downloaded. Let's see if it worked. Hold on.
Hi, everybody. It's Scott Johnson.
Oh yeah, there it is. We're in the kitchen echoing.
Excellent.
Also, we got a... So while she's been gone, this Fallout show has really got under my skin. Apparently, I'm not alone, though, because all the concurrent player bases have jumped on all the platforms. But all the Fallout games are on sale. They're all either selling to people for the first time. I think even Amazon Prime was giving away 76 for free for Steam, just like Steam codes. Mm-hmm. Anyway... Everybody fired up some form of Fallout this weekend because of the show. And I did the same thing. And I ended up playing a chunk of Fallout 4, a little bit of Fallout New Vegas, which I beat like 3 times before. No need to play it again. But I just kind of wanted to get in there and remind myself. I listened to a playlist of all that old-timey music they always play in the Fallout games.
Oh, yeah.
Which the show is excellent at doing, by the way. The show has definitely understood the assignment, and they play, you know, I don't want to watch the world burn. No, what's that song? Yeah. I don't want to set the world on fire.
Set the world on fire.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff. They're into it. And, boy, it's a real vibe right now. So,
oh, that's cool.
You're going to like that show,
I can't
dude.
Wait to. I'm looking forward to starting it. I'm worried that Tina's going to want to watch it, and that's going to slow things down, because right now I'm just about wrapped up on the thing that I'm currently watching, which, God, again, it's a tough decision. Like, do I want to talk about this one for recommendals? I might talk about this one when Steven's on here later, because it fits.
It's nerdy comic booky.
It's a nerdy comic booky thing that...
That's cool.
That may surprise people and may not surprise people that I'm watching. So.
Oh, really? Now I really need to know. So today, maybe we'll find out today when Steven comes on.
Maybe you'll find out today. I think I will talk about it today because I have another comic booky thing that I'll talk about on Wednesday for recommendals. Yeah. So, yeah.
Someone in our chat says, oh, great Holocaust show. I don't think you understand the difference between Holocaust and like a wasteland apocalyptic show. That's a very different genre. Holocaust is not the same.
Not quite the same thing.
It's really good, though. And it'll be my recommendal this week, and I'll get more into it then. But if you're on the fence at all, you probably shouldn't be. Even people who don't have any familiarity with the game, this is a really good story being told. And it's fun and twisted, and Walton Goggins is so freaking good.
Cool.
You're going to love it, dude.
It's funny because with that and Borderlands both coming out, there's been a little bit of confusion in my head. You know, video game property based on post-apocalyptic landscape world thing. So it's like, is this the one with Kate Blanchett and Jack Black? And blah, 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 blah.
I hope that one's good. I have concerns because I don't like Eli Roth. He's yet to make a movie I liked. But but I also I'm of the mind that I need to see this stuff before I'll judge it. But maybe he can make it good. He did Hostel.
Did he do Descent?
No, that was British or maybe a French. I can't remember. Somebody overseas. I wish, dude. The Descent is so good. I would like Eli Roth movies if he made it.
Eli Roth. He always looks like the guy who won't stop talking about how he does CrossFit.
Mm-hmm. Kind of, yeah. He was good in Inglourious Bastards as an actor. I liked him. Outside of that, I didn't know. Did you know that was supposed to be Adam Sandler getting that role, and it changed hands last second because Sandler was busy? Yeah.
No. Well, thanks, TV's Travis. TV's Travis says that was Neil Marshall that did Descent.
Oh, okay. British guy, right, I think?
Yep. Yep, that's right.
Yeah, his Roth known for like gory, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever. None of them ever
Green
did anything
Inferno,
for me.
Endangered Species, Hostel.
Hostel's just bad. I hated Hostel. I like horror movies. None of them did it for me. Your
but
mileage
it needs to
may
have
vary.
It needs to have more to it than just the gore.
Yeah.
I think that is looking at his list. That is the only thing of his that I've seen.
Yeah, so now he's going to do this thing that's not going to be rated R. There'll be, you know, a more mainstreamy thing. Maybe he'll nail it. I'll wait and see. I'm not going to say I won't see it. I don't know. I'm just nervous about it. Mm-hmm. We got an EMT perspective. Why do we need that? Because We love when you guys bring your professional lives into our lives. Okay. We like
sure.
it.
Sure. Yeah.
And Jay Funktastic, always good for a good time, sent the following phone call, Brian. I'm going to play it. Here you cool. go.
Hey, Scott and Brian. This is for TMS, and this is Jay Funktastic. Just want to let you guys know that I used to work as an EMT for a couple of years, and July 4th is actually a notoriously slow day for EMS. And the first year I worked there, I thought it was just going to be blown off fingers and horrible drunk driving accidents all day, but we didn't get a single call all day until the end of the day, when it was a 92-year-old grandmother who decided to get on the slip and slide and hit her head.
Oh, geez.
Which wouldn't have been so bad, but the people that put the slip and slide down forgot to clean any rocks out of the yard. So be careful of the slip and slide out there,
oh,
kid.
Oh, God.
Love
oh.
the job. Thanks, guys.
Your 92-year-old lady hitting the rock.
I felt that call. Yeah. See, that's why you don't give Grandma Mad Dog 2020.
Oh, no. No, you don't. That's interesting, though, because we were talking about how we always felt like emergency workers, you know, what holidays were the worst ones, and like how sucky it would be to work on a New Year's night when all the wrecks are happening and stuff. And I would have guessed July 4th in the States, especially in the South, where it's
sure.
the yeah. biggest fireworks are not illegal down there. Nobody, you can get whatever you want.
No, and exactly. And you know, every EMT call, I would have assumed, was preceded by the phrase, hey, watch this.
Yeah, yeah. Somebody's got three fingers where there used to be five, and your experience is helpful. So thank you, Jay. I guess yes. I had that whole assumption wrong.
I did too.
Also, yes. What got you out of EMT? Because Dylan was going to do that for a hot minute. He was in school for it. He was training for it. He liked it. This is my daughter's husband. And then he got to do some actual rides. I think that's what did it. He went on some ride-alongs or something, and he got to see actual traumatic awfulness.
Yeah.
And I think he was like, oh yeah, maybe
yeah,
not.
That would be the tough thing for me.
Yeah. I don't think I could.
One thing
it.
To have to, you know, pull rubber guts out of a plastic dummy, but then if I'm, you know, having to put them back in on a real person the first day on the job, I'm probably not going to do well with that.
Be hard being a vet, because then you got dogs down and stuff.
I read all the All Creatures Great and Small books as a kid, and I was all set to become a vet. And that's where Tristan's name came from, right? From the All Creatures Great and Small books. That was the James Herriot's brother.
Oh.
Was Tristan, and I always really liked that name. And then it was like, oh, he's also in the Round Table? Cool. All right, he's named Tristan. And then Legends of the Fall came out. Oh, did you name him after Brad Pitt's character in Legends of the Fall?
Dude, you're not kidding, dude.
But
everybody named their kid Tristan after that. You guys must have had to explain yourself a lot.
We all the time. Yeah. But we had, I was all set to do the vet thing. And then it was like, oh, my God. One of my friends had to have their animal put down. And I think that was it for me. I was like, oh, maybe this is not me.
Maybe not. Yeah. Like Carter, she thought she wanted to be a vet. And then she realized, oh, wait, someone has to make these hard calls or watch these animals suffer or whatever. Mm-hmm. She didn't want to do it anymore. She's like, forget it. I'm making video games.
good pick. Good choice.
So you saw a movie I can't wait to see, because I'm a big Alex Garland fan. And this one's a controversial one, but I'm excited about it. So give us a mini review of Civil War.
It's controversial, but not... But it's going to be controversial to people who haven't seen it. Because once you see it, you realize that... All right, so the movie's Civil War. And this is, the United States is kind of split into divisions. You've got the new Soldiers Alliance, or the New People's Alliance in the Northwest, and you've got the California seceded from the country and Texas seceded from the country, but they're joining forces for the Western forces. And then you've got the Florida Project. I can't remember what they're Florida something. Florida Men.
Willem Dafoe is the general of the Florida Project. I like that.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And you would think that, oh, okay, so the movie's really going to be about, you know, this horrible president played by Nick Offerman, and how he splits the country, and it's very much like Trump and blah, 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 and all that. No, the movie it comes into it with all that already established, and no real background as far as what caused it. All you know is that Offerman's president is this kind of tyrannical... instigator who's basically has some of the country still on board with him, and then a bunch of people who are like super on board with them, who are ready to take people out if they disagree with them, and a team that basically is there to extract him from the White House. And it's mostly about these journalists and the journalists. Wagner Mora, we talked about him a little bit, I think, before Film Sec, but he was in Narcos as your Escobar,
He's
Pablo
awesome.
Escobar dude.
Great
he
actor.
Is so freaking good. The range of emotions and his ability in this movie to both show you his outward feel, like the feeling he's putting out there, as well as his character's actual true feelings behind that is amazing. He does an incredible job of multi-layering this character. Kirsten Dunst.
I'm hearing Oscar buzz about both those two. I'm hearing like,
yeah, it would not surprise me. Kirsten Dunst, also really good. And I'm trying to think if there's anything that I've seen her in maybe since, and including Interview with a Vampire, that I thought was as good as her performance in this.
She was good. She's in that tail. Was it Tail the Dog or what was it?
Wag the Dog?
The kind of Western turn of the century thing with the, Plemons was also in it. It was Cumberbatch was the main, your main guy.
Power of the Dog. Power of the Dog. That was really good. Okay, forgot about that.
She was awesome in that, man.
She was really good in that. And she was good in that season of Fargo with Plemons, who, Plemons at one point in this film, not a spoiler because it's in the trailer, has got to point a gun at her. And I'm sure that made for some awkward dinner time conversation the night after filming that scene.
Yeah, they're so adorable. They met on the set of Fargo, and they've got the most amazing little toe-headed kids.
Yeah,
they're my favorite couple in Hollywood. I hope they last forever and it never goes away. That's what I hope.
Same, yes, for sure. Yeah. Stephen McKinley Henderson also in there. He's he was in your he was in that Sand movie that had a sequel come out this year. Whatever it was called,
Sand movie.
Sandpile, I think is what it's called, right?
Dirty Dirt Sandpile, that was the name of
Dirty
it.
Dirty Dirt Sandpile, that is your your dude who is in part one of that, but not in part two, unfortunately.
Yeah, for reasons that you could probably tell if you watched Dirty Dirt Sandpile 1.
But he's excellent. Oh my god, I love that. There's never been a thing that he's been in that I haven't loved. He's just such a great, and he just seems like he'd be a cool guy to have a beer with as well.
Sure.
This was really good, and again, free from controversy, because it doesn't talk about what caused the division, and it doesn't say this is loosely based on kind of a January 6th inspired thing. I mean, Alex Garland says that he wrote this just basically because he sees more of a populism more populism taking hold in the US and that this is a potential fallout from that. But
one of the signs that this is not super accurate to the day is things like California and Texas seceded and are joining forces. That is so opposite of what would happen today.
What had to have happened to cause California and Texas to get along?
Yeah, let alone just no way. Forces. Like, what is that alliance even about? But let me ask you this. So when the president and Offerman up there in the corner there, I assume it's still Washington, right?
It's still Washington, D.C. Yep.
Is it like the eastern seaboard is hit? Like what chunk of land?
A lot of the East Coast is his. Everything like Virginia South, I think, is part of the Florida alliance or Florida. We actually, Tina and I, after watching the movie, were like, I want to see, because you very briefly see a map of the U.S. on a news program on a TV in the background, and you for a split second see a map of how the U.S. has been divided into these little four quote unquote territories.
Let's see, I think I think I have one here.
Probably
Civil War map showing states.
It's funny when you look up Civil War, you find out about this whole other thing that happened a bunch of years ago. So you got to be really
that's true. I like things like A Man in the High Castle, alternate history stuff. That's a very similar thing. Like the west side of the country is run by the Japanese in that story. The middle is nuked out in a mess. It's no man's land. And then everything on the East Coast and East side of the country is all run by the Germans. And then there's this conflict between Japan and Germany and blah, blah, blah. I love that, yeah. Like these what if kind of scenarios. This sounds like one of those.
Yeah.
And also, I just know, I understand that it's easy for us in the brain set that we've all had for the last 5-6 years mm-hmm. to immediately just go to bristle, hear about this and go,
totally.
Is this just to rile everybody
I'll admit
up?
That I did it too. Like, you know, when I saw the first trailer for this, I'm like, God, this feels like it's going to be too viscerally current, too what will probably happen as opposed to what could happen.
Yeah. Kind of thing. Yeah. But I also, that's what art does. Art talks about stuff that's hard or that we don't want to talk about or discuss. And I'm down for this. I want to see it.
Yeah. It's really good. Yeah.
Plus, Garland's never made a piece of shit. He doesn't make
bad
movies.
No, he really hasn't. He's a good dude. They before the thing, the Alamo Drafthouse showed him talking about some of his favorite movies, and he's like a big fan of things like The Thin Man and All That Jazz and stuff like that. It's like you wonder what inspires Alex Garland, and it's older movies like that. It's really cool.
Did he mention Dirty Dirt Sand as one of his favorites?
He didn't mention Dirty Dirt Sand, but he did. He did say, what was it? There was a movie. Oh, he says, basically for 28 days later, I ripped off a whole bunch of this stuff from this other movie about this kid.
Oh, wow.
Like no one is ever going to accuse him of not being original because his stuff is so good. So it's funny to hear him saying, oh, yeah, I ripped off a bunch of this stuff for this movie. And
it's funny that a lot of people don't give him the credit he deserves for his early video game work, because he did a bunch of that. He did this,
did
an amazing story in a 360 game called Enslaved Odyssey to the West. Such a good bit of writing. Like, the game's fine too, but mechanically it's a decent game or whatever. Devil May Cry, the DMC remake in 2013, he wrote. Like, he did really good video game work before things kicked off with Ex Machina and all that. Anyway, I'm gonna go watch Civil War.
Yeah,
so Captain America
says,
go ahead.
What's that?
I was gonna say, Captain America and Iron Man and all them are all fighting in there, right? In the
Civil
War,
great, right? And because they're because of the Sokovia Accords, and so half of them they're like meeting up at an airport in Germany to hash it out. And
great, that's good to know.
Yeah,
that fits nice. Sorry, I interrupted your Dr. Calhoun.
Hey, Underoos. So Dr. Calhoun says, one of the photographer's choice of camera irritated me. I'm curious, is it Kirsten's or is it, it's probably the young girl's, right? The young girl's choice of camera.
Oh, interesting. Photographer insidery stuff, like something about their camera.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I can see why, because that seems like, you saw the movie. So, you know why she, why she has that camera. Some hipster bullshit. That's really funny.
All right.
Anyway. All right. Civil War. I'm not going to say anymore because I don't want to spoil anything.
Thumbs up from Brian. Thumbs up. All right. Straight up. All right. Let's get Brian Dunaway in here. Let's have some gamage.
Yeah.
Let's play a little game. If he logged in, he is. He
got
in.
He is logged into the game. We are ready to play.
Excellent. Hey, look who it is. It's Brian Dunaway joining us for the morning half-asses on a Monday. Hi, Brian.
Oh, hi, Scott and Brian.
Oh, hi. What are you
doing? What are you guys doing on this fine, fine Monday morning?
Well, I was just thinking. I listened to Film Sack again from Friday or from Saturday. I don't always do that.
Really?
Or Sunday, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't always do that, but once in a while, listen to our show again after we did it.
And yeah, totally.
Your intro was one of the best ones ever, even if we didn't say so that day. Just saying.
It really was, yeah. Your intro was so good.
Yeah, they're so good.
Oh, well, thank you. It's no parodyville, but it's
doesn't
not bad.
Matter.
It,
yeah.
It's, I had a
we've got
time.
Our we've each got our things, and you're yours is excellent, and it feels so effortless.
The thing about yours. You own it.
It is years of hammering that bad boy process down to everything that annoyed me to only leave what I liked. And I still do something that I'm not particularly proud of, which is sometimes I hide the funny a little too far deep. I'm like, it's a little deep cutty.
No. Those are great because then it's like those things. There's some jokes that I try and skate past Scott and he catches most of them.
Right.
But it's like those things like that, that it's like that I want two people in the audience to go, oh my God, I got that reference or I got that joke.
There's power in a deep cut, man. I like a deep cut.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And you do them all the time. Yeah, you've got your thing. Brian's got his song parodies. Randy's got his three rules for everything. You guys got it all
down.
Scott
has all his amazing ear for capturing the funniest shit.
Yeah, and knowing which things need a fart sound secretly embedded in them. And
which ones
things happened on my prom night.
Right.
I haven't had a prom night in the last couple of weeks. I'm okay with that. All right with that.
You have the most eventful prom nights of anyone I've ever
met. Really did. We're almost running out of, like, if you stitched all those prom night sounds together, it actually would be longer than the three proms I went to.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
I only went to two. I wish I'd have gone to three. I enjoyed my proms, but I only went to two.
Anyway, I didn't go. I went to no proms.
You went to no prom? Why no proms? What happened there? Not a prom guy.
Just not a prom guy. No.
I mean, I know you like the ladies. It's just you weren't.
I gotta get dressed up. And west the and
spend big
and,
money
and dance.
Yeah. And go down you got to go down to the Cracker Barrel and spend $40
right.
on dinner.
What am I? What am I? Teen Wolf?
I like that. What am I? Marty McFly and his mom.
I was gonna say Scott. I was gonna say Teen Wolf's real name, and I was like, nobody's gonna get that. This guy through talking about hiding stuff too deep.
Yeah,
said,
deep
Teen
cuts.
Wolf. Teen Wolf.
Yeah, Teen Wolf.
Scott. Something.
Everybody knows what that is.
Yeah, I get it. Well, all right. It's good to have you here, dude. We're gonna play a game, and we're gonna try to win some people some prizes. Brian will explain the whole damn thing. Brian, take it away.
Darn tootin'. Welcome to the Morning Half Ass is a trivia game where I'm actually going to be giving you the answers. I'll give Scott and Brian a category and six possible answers, three of which are correct and three of them, like Jesse Plemons pulling a gun out on Kristen Dunst, are incorrect and wrong. Depending on how confident they feel with the category, they can provide one, two, or three guesses, but if any of those guesses are wrong, you get zilch for that round. Nil, nada, nunca, yet. If you get one right, you get a point. Two right gets you 3 points. Three right gets you 5 points. We'll add all those up after three rounds, and somebody's going to win a prize for their contestant. Contestants that I've pulled very carefully and daintily from members of the Tadpool that aren't able to listen live. Also, randomly. Scott, you're playing for Matt in California. By the way, randomly, both of your people only gave me a first name and a state, not even a city. They gave me a first name and a state. So, Scott, you're playing for Matt in California.
Wow.
Brian, you're playing for Danny in Mississippi.
Yeah, this
Good
is some
top,
sure there's only one in
some,
each of those.
Some top-level doxing. It only works in a blinkety way. Wow.
Exactly. So, you know, hopefully these people know who they are if they're listening. They're like, oh, well, my name is Dan. I live in California. Did I just put Danny in my thing? I can't remember. Yeah. Anyway.
Wild.
I can actually see, based on their emails, I could say their full names. I could.
You could, but you won't because you're just not that kind of guy. You won't do that.
They both have a last initial that begins with P. So Matt P and Danny P. How about that? That's good.
All right.
All right. Let's get to your first question here. Things? No. Inventions?
Things that were invented?
Things I found in my nose. Inventions named after a place. So which of these are inventions that were named after the place presumably in which they were invented? Your choices are limerick, absinthe, zero, contact bridge, jeans, and parchment.
Which of these
were named after where they were invented?
This is a really interesting one.
Yeah.
They all sound right.
They do, right? Yeah.
Jeans, Wyoming.
I mean, Levi Strauss and all them, that was like early 1800s. Yeah. I think that was all in the States, but I don't actually know that. Maybe it was somewhere else.
All right, you both have locked in, and you guys are both playing it safe with two. Limerick. Limerick, happy to tell you, yes, Limerick was invented in Ireland in the town of Limerick. So that one you're little,
actually that one I actually knew.
There once was an invention named Limerick, and
that was as far as the rest of them goes. I have no idea. Contact high, I don't know.
Parchment. was invented in Pergamon, Greece.
That sounded like a real one. Okay. I got one.
So that's, you got one. Uh-huh. And you
not parchment Greece.
Not parchment, Pergamon, Greece.
Yeah.
Which I guess when you say it in Greek probably sounds like parchment.
It must be, right? That's weird. It must be.
Yeah. Absinthe. Not
damn it
for a city. No, the other one was Jeans. Right. It's funny. It's the one that you guys were kind of joking about.
Named is it Jeans, Wyoming? Please,
Genoa,
tell me it's Jeans, Wyoming.
Genoa, Italy.
Oh,
okay. Like where you also get Genoa salami is also the place where jeans were invented, and it was Genoa, the where your jeans the names came from. Isn't that great?
That's great. I love it.
They cut like jeans though? I want to know if they're like, when I think of jeans.
Well, they're not boot cut.
Yeah, not like skinny jeans, but they're probably like.
They might wear boots.
They're just heavy cotton denim, you know.
They do wear boots in Italy because their country is shaped like one. So they absolutely wear boots.
Let's see. I'm looking at a picture of old
Italian
jeans.
My shoes, they're shaped like the place we live.
Yeah, they're like old. Okay, imagine like the miners and the Levi Strauss stuff they were wearing. Just big, gnarly.
Yeah.
Compressed cotton.
No, probably no shape to them at first. Just
no,
like
they were meant for working. They were for working, man. That was it. Holy shit, these things. All right. Well, anyway, you'd never want to wear them today. But nice job.
So no points, but that's all right. We got two more rounds to go, and I think you're going to do really well on this one.
Shut up.
We're 100 days away from the Olympics.
Yeah.
Do you know that? 100 days from the Olympics or ish?
Ish.
Ish. And I want to know which of these events are part of the men's decathlon. Your choices are shot put, 100-meter dash, triple jump, 400-meter hurdles, hammer throw, and pole vault. Which of these are decathlon events?
Oh my gosh, I had a really close friend that was a decathlete, and I should know this.
Decathlete,
that's what they called them.
Is that what they call themselves? They're a decathlete.
Decathlete.
That makes sense.
Yep.
Right,
literally a decathlete. And
so if you're only good at one thing, you're an athlete. If you're good
at 10 things, myself,
you're a decathlete.
Start calling myself pod talker,
pod athlete,
pod athlete.
Podthalete. Ooh, that's rough.
Podthalete.
Yeah, he was. He named himself Deca in all of his, like when we play World of Warcraft, early days of World of Warcraft.
Really? Wow.
Was Deca.
All right, so
he was into it.
He was into it. Yeah. All right.
Shit. This is hard.
It is hard.
I'm going to go with.
Not as hard as running a decathlon, I bet. Most of those decathletes would say like, oh, poor Scott. Gonna choose 3 out of 6.
I'm doing 2. I don't remember.
Scott did 2. Brian did 3. You both said pole vault. Mm-hmm. Yeah, pole vault is. Pole vault's a decathlon event. You also said shot put. Well, Brian did anyway.
Yeah.
Shot put is also a decathlon event.
Shit.
The third one is the 100-meter dash.
No!
Scott. Scott getting some points on this one. Three points for getting 100-meter dash and pole vault. 400-meter hurdles is not. Neither is hammer throw nor triple jump.
I feel good about that. That feels good to me.
You should.
Yeah.
Sometimes at house, I do the hammer throw.
Yeah, you
hammer
do.
Throw. Yeah.
I don't want to know about that. That's great.
That's when I really want to put a hole in the drywall, I'll do the hammer throw.
Yep.
All right. We're down to the last question. It's a comic book question, sort of.
Ooh.
You guys are both good at comic books.
Yeah, we
One
like
of you
them.
Knows them coast to coast.
Mm. Coast to coast.
Which of these were special guest villains on TV's Batman, your Adam West Batman? Which of these were special guest villains? Your choices are Joan Collins as Siren, Carol Channing as Baby Doll, Milton Berle as Louis the Lilac, Ernest Borgnine as Sweet Tooth, Anthony Perkins as Kite Man, and Vincent Price as Egghead.
Oh,
which three
Lord.
Of these were God actual
man.
Really special guest villains on TV's Batman?
Carol Channing.
Kite Man.
Like, I have to think about who would be willing to do this back then. You know what I mean?
This like, was a big, this show was kind of a, you know, a little bit of
a big deal.
It was a big deal at the time, yeah.
Yeah.
Do I go for one more?
I can I undo one? Yeah.
Yeah. You just click it to undo
I'm
it.
I'm really hesitant on one of these.
That's no glory.
I'm doing two again because I'm ahead. I'm going to be conservative. Brian has to kind of go all out.
I don't have to.
Look at the, yeah, got to go all out. All right. You guys are both locked in. Oh my gosh, this is for all the marbles. All right. Vincent Price did play Egghead. That
Whoa.
Is correct.
I remember that one specifically, yeah.
Shit.
Milton Berle. Oh, Joan Collins. Joan Collins.
As Siren.
Was Siren.
Okay.
That is nice. Correct.
Okay.
Good job.
Ooh.
Milton Berle, though, as Louis the Lilac. Was indeed Milton Berle's character. No Sweet Tooth, no Ernest Borgnine. No, even though Kite Man is truly, you know, a Batman villain, I guess. No Anthony Perkins and no Carol Channing as Baby Doll. Scott, you were hovering over Carol Channing for quite a while as Baby Doll. Cause
it's not like something she'd do, right? She seems like she would be down for it.
Absolutely does. Which means Brian gets 3 points and ties things
up. See, I only knew two, and I knew I could... Just if I could eke it out in overtime.
If you would have done a third one, you're saying, should I do a third? What would your third one have been?
Yeah, I was kind of going towards Carol Channing as Baby Doll as well. And so it would have been bad.
Yep, that would have been bad. All right. Well, that means we've got to bring out a tiebreaker. I've got a tiebreaker right here. Who won last week? Do you guys remember?
I think it was
me. I did by tie vote.
Oh, right. You're right.
That's right. Okay, so we had a tiebreaker last week. So, Scott, I'm going to let you pick whether you want to guess or give the over-under.
Oh, I will...
Last week you did the over-under, remember? That worked out well for you.
Shit. I'm going to... I usually do okay with that, though. Last week was the Django one, right? That was horrible.
It was the Django one, yeah.
I'll do it again, though.
The Django one.
I'll do the over-under on it.
Okay. All right. So that means, Brian, you're going to be giving me an answer to this. A numerical answer is what I'm looking for. We just watched Godzilla 2014.
Minus one.
That's right. What is the over-under? Minus one. Godzilla doesn't show up until an hour into the film. It has nothing to do with anything. I'm kidding. It's actually related. Yeah. It's actually related. There are 135 chapters in the novel Moby Dick. In which chapter is Moby Dick first cited? In which chapter do you first is Moby Dick first cited?
Oh, this is devious. I like this one.
It is.
All right, Dunaway, guess.
Hey. That's Ibbot's job. Back off.
No, it's your job to guess.
Well, I'm guessing. It's Ibbot's job to tell me to hurry up. It's my job shut up.
That's a good point. It is my job to do that. I'm terrible
at
that
chapter,
job.
Which chapter? How many chapters is it total?
135 chapters total.
And when did he show up?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, because it's like... You can mention a character, and that's kind of showing up in the book.
Right. No. When he's first cited.
Okay, when he's actually first sighted.
He's actually first sighted.
I assume the book probably, there's a moment where they describe it. Like,
I imagine, Ishmael, is all about that at the very beginning.
Yeah.
I'm going after the whale that killed me pa.
All right.
The real time first appearance of the
The real time first appearance.
Of the dick.
Like, right, exactly.
Right.
Yes.
All right.
Because they talk about the shark in Jaws, but eventually you see the shark in Jaws. It's like that.
Right.
Yes.
Then it's got to be showed the chapter. Give me chapter 52.
52.
Yeah, I had long enough to Google it, so yeah.
Oh, well done. Chapter All right. 52, 52 yeah. is incorrect. Your Googling was terrible.
I didn't want to guess it because then it looked like I was cheating.
Right. Oh, yeah. Good point. Good point. Scott, is the actual answer higher or lower?
I was
going to
go
52?
Higher, but then I said, nah, Scott's an idiot.
Wow. Your motivation's here.
Wow. There we go.
I'm going to do under that. I think he shows up sooner.
Just a little bit sooner? A little bit sooner than Godzilla in Godzilla 2014?
It feels like it.
The actual answer out of 135 chapters, the first chapter in which Moby Dick is cited is 133. chapters before the end of the book.
Damn it!
You are good at this.
Was it famous for... It must have been famous for this. Being
I don't
so
know
late.
If it was, because this is the first I'd heard of it, which surprises the hell out of me. I've never read Moby Dick, and spoiler alert, whale doesn't show up until the end of the book.
Damn it, dude. That's a horrible loss on my part. That's awful. I was sure. I don't know. I'm not going to read Moby Dick. There, take that, everybody. I'm not going to read your stupid book.
Take that, Moby's grandfather or uncle or whoever.
Yeah, whoever owns the rights now, you jerks. There's an amazing episode of Futurama that features Moby Dick as a backdrop. It is utterly fantastic if you've never seen
it. Oh, really?
It's the one where the giant brains are trying to take over the world. And because Fry's stupid, he's the only one that isn't made stupider.
He's too stupid. Yeah,
it's
he's not.
So good. It's such a great episode. Anyway, you know what? Well, by the way,
Herman Melville is Moby's grandfather or uncle or something. There's some relation to Moby, the DJ,
the musician. Artist?
The musician. Yeah, that's why his name Moby is because Herman Melville is his, I want to say grandfather. Is that right?
Real? That's crazy.
Yeah, that's real. Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's not like his story where he said he was dating... what's her name, and it turns out she's like, I never dated him, but who was that? Somebody big. It was like a big deal, and she was like, no, and Moby's like, Natalie Portman, that's what it was.
Oh, really? Oh, no, my gosh, what a
embarrassing situation.
Yeah, it's no one will ever figure out that this is
that's not high profile. No one will ask any questions about this, I'm sure. Dunaway, you earned that, though, dude. You earned it.
Yeah.
Nicely done. I'm impressed.
Yeah.
Looking to see.
That was tough. That was all the way to the end, Scott.
I know.
That was challenging.
It felt like.
He's related to David Melville, the inventor of the first United States patented gaslight system. The rumor is that he was actually related to Herman Melville, but he is a Melville. But not related to that Melville.
But that's amazing because that's gaslighting, which means he's been gaslit. We have all been gaslit into thinking it was the author he was related to.
Yes.
That's amazing. Yes.
He was related to an actual gaslighter.
Yeah. And he gaslighted Natalie Portman. That's incredible.
Yeah.
All right. I follow him on TikTok because he does, he'll do weird music loops on there for fun. Mm-hmm. The guy's really talented with that stuff. It's like really good. Is.
But, feel bad. He was born on 9/11, so that's a kind of a crummy birthday to have these days.
Wait, because his birthday. I was gonna say, wait a minute. He's older than I was thinking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, he wasn't born on that 9/11. His birthday is. He was born on a September 11th, just not that September 11th.
In a 7/11 as well. That was a real rough thing. All right. Well done, so, Dunaway. I was just gonna say, let's tell our winners who they are and what they've won.
Yeah, Danny in Mississippi, congratulations. You win, and you're getting a copy of Toki, T-O-K-I, ooh, and the Whispered World Special Edition.
I don't know that one. I know Toki. I don't know the other one. Toki's very good.
Yeah.
Cool. But our Matt in California, he's not going away empty-handed. He's going to get a copy of Streamer Life Simulator. Please tell me, this is a game where you pretend you're a video game streamer and you simulate what that's like.
Yeah, totally. It's like a tycoon game where you are trying to be like, you know, a popular streamer. That's the whole idea.
I love it. Oh my God, that's fantastic. Okay.
I have not played it. I've seen it. My understanding is that it's okay. It's good.
Yeah, yeah.
If it's the sort of thing you want to do.
Yeah, yeah.
So enjoy that, runner-up. You've won.
Awesome. Good job, Matt in California. You're going to get a copy of that. I'd love to hear how it is, actually. Let us know.
Give us some follow-up. Dunaway, what are you doing? Anything cool right now?
I want to play that Toki remake. I'm assuming that's the one he's getting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably. I'd play that. Toki is good. Yeah. You know what else is good? Your hairy, smelly southern butt. Goodbye.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, you. We are going to take a song break because on the other side of that, Steven Schleicher waiting patiently to come on and talk about nerdy shit going on. I'm very excited about this, so stick around. Brian, play us a song before we can do that, please.
Yeah, a little bit of this is some metal stuff, I think, if I remember correctly. I mean, this is definitely a heavier... There might be a differential. Brian, that's not metal. This is... Blah, 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 blah. But this is a band called Mest. And it's spelled M-E-S-T. They are...
Ooh, I like that.
I guess they describe themselves as a pop punk band. So pop punk band, not metal.
Okay. All right.
Okay. I did get this from Spam Records, S-B-A-M Records, and they usually do send me metal. This is the band called Mest. This song features Jarrett Reddick of Bowling for Soup on it as well. Their brand new album is called Youth. Comes out May 31st. Here's the band Mest and When We Were Young. We'll be right back.
I can't do that. I don't have a stapler. I mean, the thing you use takes off the hair.
Coco Nutty.
Do say again who that was, Dute.
Dute, yes. May 31st, the album Youth comes out from the band Mest. That is the first single. It's called When We Were Young and features Dude from Bowling for Soup.
Bowling for Soup.
Jarrett Reddick of Bowling for Soup or Falling for Boof.
yes. Falling for Boof.
Falling for Boof. Bowling for Soup. Jarrett Reddick with the band, playing there with the band Mest.
Man, you guys have the easiest job. Picking titles today because we've been saying some really dumb shit.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
I'm sure Falling for Boof is going to be there. Look at everybody submitting Falling for Boof. It's a mad dash. It's a gold rush out there for that one.
Now it's only a matter of who actually gets voted for. So get in there and vote.
Right.
Frogpants.showbot.tv or frogpants.showbot.tv. I was right the first time.
Right.
all right. We're going to, let's see here. Where is it? Major Spoilers is the name.
Yeah.
Let's get him in here. I always like talking to Steven. I feel I've missed him, you know? I don't know why. It just feels like we have.
Like hearing about comic books.
Yeah, they're a thing, and he's here to bring it.
And now welcome Steven to the show. He's a huge freaking nerd.
Dollar bills, y'all.
Steven K. Schleicher joining us right now. F. Okay.
Steven F. Schleicher.
We've never talked about this. Can I guess what the middle name is? You cool with that?
Sure, go ahead.
Frederick.
Nope.
Okay.
Fatima.
You only get one chance.
Oh.
No, well, he got a chance and I get a chance.
Yeah, Brian gets a chance. That's right.
That was my chance. I said Fatima.
Fatima. No. Okay.
Play again next time. Thank you for playing.
Okay. Right. You know what? We'll keep this up over the months until we get it.
Yeah.
How about that? Yeah. I like that. This is a new fun mini game.
Somebody in the chat's already got it.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. That would have been
I think it was the first try too for somebody.
Is it Francis? It's Francis?
Yeah, it is Francis.
Oh,
Francis.
My mother-in-law's name is Francis.
Yeah, I know.
No offense. I apologize.
I'm so offended.
Yeah, she's got your name, and unfortunately, she...
No, she has an E. I bet she has an E for hers.
Oh, she does,
probably. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyone ever call you Franny or Frank or any of that?
My uncle's name is Francis, so I'm named after him.
Oh, okay.
So Frank. Frank is what we call him.
Frank, okay.
Yeah, Uncle Frank.
An Uncle Frank. That's a great name for an uncle. I like that. Never had one. I had an Uncle Joel, and all he did was tell me dirty jokes. That guy. Anyway.
Did you call him the piano man?
No.
Dirty joke Joel.
He was, I think I've mentioned it before, but every family thing we'd get to, you'd walk in. For some reason, there was always a bucket of KFC at these parties. I don't know why. But I'd walk into these like get-togethers, and he'd go, hey, Scott, come here. I go, oh, hey, Uncle Joel, what's up? And he goes, come here, I got to tell you this.
What do you call three hookers and a phone booth?
It's like that. It's just like that. And he would tell me the joke, and I would have to go, huh, that's great, Uncle Joel, and then I'd have to get away from him. He just weirded me out.
Oh, funny.
Anyway, Joel, if you're listening, you're awesome. He had hair. Yeah. He had a ponytail down to his butt he kept from the 60s.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. Wow. Did he have a lot of sleeveless jean jackets?
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. And he's never changed. Yeah. He's in his like late 70s now.
Yeah.
And still has this hair, still has the look. He is who he is, I guess. Probably still telling
just a
jokes.
Quick reminder, by the way, that my uncle George and Aunt Barb are coming to TMS Vegas. They've got their tickets, they've got their room booked. They are going to be there. So
that's great.
Be ready to experience that fun while they're out there.
It's too bad we don't have Dave and the real Chris Brown. Those two would finish the trifecta.
I know.
Yeah.
So with the Fallout show, how many people are going to be dressed up in their blue overalls with a what number 11 on the back?
Somebody wants or who is it? TV's Travis wants us in kilts. That's what he wants, but
oh, nice.
I don't think that's happening.
Yeah.
Not a chance is what I would say to that. Anyway, Steven, there's a few things going on.
Okay.
Three new X-Men titles arriving in July. Now, if you're an X-Men fan.
So many X-Men books coming.
Do you think this is all just like preparatory for the big, you know, whatever they're going to do next
with
X-Men? The Deadpool
deal? Yeah. Or the Disney deal? I think it's probably,
So the Krakoa era just wrapped up. That was a big, long, multi-year thing. And so that's done. And so they're relaunching all the X-Men titles with new number ones. So we have X-Men number one from Jed McKay and Ryan Stegman. That is coming out in, I want to say, July. Then we also have Gail Simone and David Marquez doing Uncanny X-Men, Eve Ewing and Carmen Caneros doing Exceptional X-Men. And then we've got the three new titles that were announced last week. Phoenix, which has Jean Grey as Phoenix. Surprise.
Weird.
What? Her?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Wow. Then we have NYX, which is the, I don't know how to group this one. So it's got Kamala Khan. It's got a bunch of teenage X-Men going and protecting New York City. And then there is X-Force, and that does feature Deadpool as the lead on that one. So that one probably is maybe tied in a little bit for the movie. That one comes out July 31st. So July will be the big X-Men. And then there's one more. Cyclops. There's one more that I'm skipping off the top of my head. Phoenix, NYX, X-Force, X-Men, Uncanny X-Men, Exceptional X-Men. Nope, those are the six books. That's going to keep you busy for July.
That's a lot of X-Men. I don't know if you saw this, but X-Men 97, now the highest rated Marvel series on all the, I don't know if it was just Rotten Tomatoes, but it's the highest rated show that Disney Marvel has made.
It does not surprise me. The most recent episode everyone's still talking about.
Yes. Remember that episode. Remember it.
Isn't that crazy, man?
There's a little thing. Is it a post-credits thing, or as you're going into the credits, there's something that appears in the skies that has everyone freaked out?
It's in the middle. It's more in the middle of the thing. But,
All right.
Yeah. But
does it look hungry for worlds, perhaps?
No, but it does make you question, what if they somehow brought all of this together and made it work?
Yeah.
Okay. Was he a surfboard wearing silver man?
No. Steven's already giving you a clue. I do know that my friend Jeffrey was right about what he saw in the sky.
Oh, interesting. Okay, well,
somebody's
now you're
screaming in the chat about spoilers.
Well,
whatever.
You are major spoilers, so why the hell not?
That's right. They're in the name.
Well, I look forward to this because I haven't read a good, well, I shouldn't say good. I just haven't read X-Men in a long time.
It's not like, hey, here's the origin of the X-Men. This is like, hey, how do we pick up after our society has crumbled? So I think you're going to get maybe some 70s version of the X-Men, and not saying that that's the tales they're going to tell, but you know, it's not like we're reforming groups or anything like that. There are mutants that are established and they're coming together for their own means and ends. So I think it'll be good. And if you are an X-Men fan, then July is going to be packed. Make sure you know where your local comic book store is. Or if you're on the Marvel United, are you still on that, Brian?
I'm still on that. Yep. Marvel Unlimited, yes.
Oh, yeah. Yep. You'll get yours around December or something.
Yeah, which is fine. I have so much to read before then. I'm really good at adding comics to my queue that I want to read. Mm-hmm. And because I was like, oh, you know, Angela, I've never...
The
character is Todd McFarlane, right? Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. They got her from...
Moved from Image to Marvel and...
I don't remember the story behind that. Do you remember that, Steven? How did they end up
with her? I don't remember. It's some weird nebulous thing where she's not technically in the Spawn universe, even though that's where she was at. So McFarlane was just like, yeah, if you guys want to license her, go right ahead. And so they brought her in for like 2 years, and then the licensing deal has expired and they don't have her in the universe anymore. So it's kind of like, it's really weird when companies do this, because like Marvel just did this with Conan, right? So it's like, let's bring Conan in and make him part of the Avengers or the Defenders or whatever Revengers group that he's in.
Yeah.
And then the license is expired and technically they're not allowed to reprint those things in trade. And so now we've got Titan Comics is doing the Conan series. Yeah. So now they have the rights to re-release the original Marvel Conan books from the 1970s.
Right. So the new Zub Conan.
Mm-hmm.
Really good, by the way.
By the way, quick correction, co-created according to Wikipedia by Neil Gaiman and Todd McFarlane. Sci-Fi describes that Neil Gaiman needed money to help fund his lawsuit against Todd McFarlane, and Marvel gave him that money, and in return he was required to write two series, and he gave the rights to Marvel.
I did not know those guys were all up in the litigious.
I know. Yeah.
I don't like that. I like those two people. All right. I was going to say something, forgot what it was, and so that's great. Oh, Conan. Yeah. Can you explain to me how Conan the Barbarian was brought into the Avengers or some shit like that? Did they time travel that? Well, like, what happened?
No, it wasn't
there?
Time travel. It was dimensional something, portal something.
Jeez. Mm. I think that's kind of stupid.
So Spider-Man, Spider-Man has been into the Red Sonja universe before. So it's not like these characters haven't crossed over in the past.
I know. They just are so fan fiction-y when they do this. Like when they put the Next Generation cast, I think it's IDW or whoever did it. Yeah. Next Generation meets Doctor Who.
Just
weird, man. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, IDW has met with their Star Trek stuff. They've met everyone. Legion of Superheroes, Green Lantern Corps, X-Men, Doctor Who. Planet of the Apes was an interesting one.
Yeah.
Huh. Oh, really? That is about. Yeah.
That's freaking weird.
Yeah, Dracula is even a character, you know, Marvel Universe character as well. So,
yeah, that's true. All right. Well, that's all stuff to look forward to. Also, nostalgic comics are here to stay, baby. Thundercats, Space Ghost, Gotcha Man. I mean, Thundercats alone. You had me at Thundercats.
Yeah, but Thundercats is up to issue number 5. That one comes out this week or next week. Space Ghost comes out next month. Everybody's excited about the new Space Ghost series over at Dynamite Entertainment.
Can you tell me more about that one? Like, is it going to be the tongue-in-cheek Space Ghost talk show host or more like the old comic
The old cartoon series. So cool. this will include parts of the origin story about how he was, you know, essentially Space Ghost is the Lone Ranger. So if you're familiar with that story of how he became the Lone Ranger, Space Ghost is kind of the same thing. So we'll get that. And then, of course, Battle of the Planets fans, Gotcha Man, is getting 2 series at, now it slipped my mind, I think also, no, at Titan Comics, I think, is where the Gotcha Man series is at.
Oh, that's cool.
Will every issue of Gotcha Man come in a blind box and you don't know which issue you're going to get?
Gotcha Man.
I know where you're coming from there, Ibbett. I know exactly what you're doing.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Yeah. That's cool. I mean, I like old ideas. Mm-hmm. I don't, you know, people that somebody yesterday was yelling at me because I was raving about Fallout, the show, and excited for what could be Fallout 5. Because we even talked about it, I think, on FilmSack or something.
The popularity of the show could drive them to finally make a new
game. Yeah, they're probably they're always in the middle of something over there. And so I was online saying something about that. And so people are so hardcore on this line of like, I don't want anything that's already out there. I want new things. Just nothing but new things. I'm like, but they just did Starfield. That was new. Yeah, but it played like Fallout. It's Fallout in space. I'm like, I can't work with these people anymore. I can't do it.
No, nostalgia factor still is a big role in just about everything pop culture right now. And so to see a lot of these classic cartoons, whether they be from the 60s or the 70s or the 80s, showing up in comics or new TV shows on Netflix or wherever, this thing is going to continue to happen for a long time. So if people are concerned about not getting their newest thing, just wait. Give it a five years and it'll be there.
It'll always be there. And fighting against it is just a waste of your breath, everybody.
Yes.
Some of the stuff we want, some of this we don't, but it's all happening. It's money. This is a business. Yeah. So welcome to the business of nostalgia. You're in it. Speaking of nostalgia, you have the coolest looking book I got to get featured on the site from Jose Luis Garcia Lopez, covers of DC Comics. Holy crap. Listen, these are so
good. If people don't know who Jose Luis Garcia Lopez is, back in 1982, he was tasked by DC Comics to come up with the quote unquote official look for all of the DC characters, for all the merchandising that they were doing. So lunch boxes, T-shirts, birthday cards, all of these things. And so he designed these things back in 1982. And they're so iconic that even today, you can go and find merchandise that still has his design look on it. In fact, when my kids were born, we bought these big, you know, giant wall-size, life-size stickers to put on the wall.
Oh, yeah, Superman and Batman. Fat heads.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. And they were the Jose Garcia Lopez designs.
That's cool.
And so people are aware of these, whether they know it or not.
Oh,
and
100%.
DC is like, And so DC is like, hey, we are going to release a series of variant covers coming up later this year. And they are all going to feature the Garcia Lopez art on the variant cover. So this is definitely something I want to get because these things are.
They're great. Yeah. Reminds me of the, what was it, the Marvel Universe the Encyclopedia of the Marvel Universe or whatever it was called.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love this because you get to really see, and it's great for kids who want to learn how to draw these characters because they get a side view and a back view and a front view and all that. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised that the definitive Batman is, I mean, this is the original, obviously.
Yeah.
I was surprised they didn't go with, all right, we're going to do the black outfitted.
Oh, yeah,
Batman,
no, they're going with the only thing that I wish that they would have done is I wish they would have included the color chips of the CMYK colors. You can still find those. You can find those. In fact, years ago, I think the family released the original, and you can find it. I know we have a link on it somewhere on Major Spoilers, where they had the original PDF that you could download that was everything that was in there, including all the color schemes. So if you wanted to get the exact Green Lantern green or the Batman blue, gray, and yellow, they would include those in there. And if you were ever curious what Robin's thighs were colored in the 1980s, that's in there as well. So it's really cool to go and track these things down and see just how iconic he drew these things and how long lasting they are even today.
Yeah, they stayed. Cool. A lot of these aspects of these characters stayed this way. I remember the 80s iterations of the Super Friends cartoon, 100% adhered to these color schemes, to the way Batman's cowl is mixed with the gray, mixed with the yellow, the kind of shiny pants with a little bit of blue and black. Like, that stuff stayed for so long. I mean, I even look at it now and I just go, oh, is that Jim Lee? Like, I feel like it's stuck around in a really hardcore way.
Or whoever. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so iconic. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it is weird that you mentioned Perez, right? So even though his stuff is super iconic too, it's weird that the Garcia Lopez stuff is somehow even more iconic than that.
Yeah.
It really is. Yeah. Yeah.
These, can you imagine going to lunch with these two? Man, that'd be great.
Oh, man, no kidding. I would love, let's get this guy to do a full, one of those Alex Ross style, here's 1,000 characters in the DC universe thing, where, I'd love that.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah. So
cool. I would eat that up.
Yeah, he's still alive, so.
Yeah, still kicking.
He's now 76, and now
if he starts on it now, he might be done with it in 20 years.
Sure.
Something and somewhere you're going to have to track this one down. This one was done by a bunch of different artists, but originally in the old New York City DC offices, they had people come in and paint a giant mural. So as soon as you got off the elevator, giant mural, very much like the Alex Ross thing. But this one was done with a bunch of different artists lending their talent to that. But you can still go and find pictures of that online. And it's really interesting the characters that they chose for that, because some of the characters are like, why is that character there? They're such a minor character, but somehow they made it into this giant mural.
Yeah. Oh, it's awesome. Cool. Love this stuff. And that's available when? When can I buy this?
That is coming up in, I want to say, June or July.
All right. Big summer.
Yeah. And then they're going to actually run them for probably the rest of the year. So I think they're going to try to get as many of his characters on their books from now until the end of the year.
That's great.
I love it. He's in Spain and lives in Spain now, so it'd be hard to go to lunch with him.
Brian, you said earlier, you said earlier you had some comic booky movie thing that you wanted to talk about.
I did. Thank you. I was going to break in. I didn't want to derail the train of thought, so I'm glad you mentioned that. So, yeah, this is going to be a recommendal that fits more here, because somebody who likes this segment will like this recommendal more than somebody who just likes the general stuff that we maybe recommend on Wednesday's show. But based on X-Men 97 and the opening Marvel Animation Studios cinematic, which has a bunch of the old, it's got some new stuff like What If and the stuff like that. But it's also got the Silver Surfer cartoon from the 90s, late 90s, which I'd never seen before.
Mm.
And this is pre, anything MCU, right? So as Silver Surfer, it feels like sometimes the artwork was done with the thickest, fattest Sharpie that they could find. But you get original Android Drax. You get Nebula. You get Ego, the human planet, the living planet. You get the Kree and the Skrull War. You get Pip the Troll. You get all these characters that we've now seen in the MCU, but the original kind of comic booky storylines. And it was actually, the cartoon is really, really good. If you can get past the animation being kind of, sometimes a little rudimentary, a little basic. Galactus is always, this was, by the way, late 90s was the time period that they were really struggling to try and figure out how to make CGI and 3D.
Oh, yeah.
art work in 2D style animation. Mm-hmm. So Galactus is always a 3D, the 3D image character.
Yeah.
He's like, you know,
that kind of like the Spider-Man series that did the same thing.
Yes. Yes. Oh, but yeah. Not nearly as good as they did it in Spider-Man. Okay. All right. Anyway, there's 13 episodes up on Disney Plus, half an hour each. They are a lot of fun. You spend a lot of time in Silver Surfer's head, like, because he's flying through space on his surfboard and he's thinking, oh, there is something about this planet that I am drawn to. Mm. Oh, yeah, you get Thanos, a ton of Thanos.
Really?
yeah. And it's, you know, it's your big wide, it's basically Thanos without the helicopter, but that Thanos.
Yeah, he's built like a extra large Wolverine kind of.
He's built like CeeLo Green, basically.
Yeah,
yes.
Just like a big wide load.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
It's really good, and that fits more as a recommendal here because it's I'm about 7 episodes through it, and I'm just loving it because it's. Oh, one of the episodes was written by Harlan Ellison.
Wow.
The episode I just watched was written by Harlan Ellison. It's really good. It's worth checking out.
All right. I like the art. If it, just in still images, I'm not looking at the animated stuff, but the still images from the show remind me of Kirby. Like Jack Kirby's art is all over this damn thing.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And Jack Kirby sometimes looked like he was drawing with the fattest, thickest Sharpie marker he could find.
Yeah. It's got those weird, that what do you call the effect he liked? The Kirby crackle.
The Kirby crackle.
Yeah, that's in there.
Yes.
That's
There's
cool.
Lots of Kirby crackle in this thing. And
the actor who voices Silver Surfer, I'm not familiar with him. Paul Eisenbry?
Eisenbry, don't know him.
It looks like I'm looking at his IMDb page. It looks like he does, now Kim probably might be a little bit more familiar with him, because it looks like he does a lot of those Hallmark holiday movies.
Oh my gosh, really? That's really? Funny.
Yeah.
That's funny. You never know where people
are going to end up. Let's see, what does he got here? Oh, there's that one's Meet Me Under the Mistletoe, A Dash of Christmas, Miracle in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
Oh, Lord.
Nice. Oh,
wow.
My God.
Wow.
A Brush with Christmas, Christmas Cookie Catastrophe.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, the episode I just watched had freaking Beta Ray Bill in it, which was fantastic. You got Gamora, who introduces herself the first time you see her as Gamora.
Oh my gosh.
Like she calls herself Gamora. I don't know if we get her again later on in the season, but. It's great. It's a lot of fun. It's, you know, it's, this might be a good adventure club thing for you, Scott, cause it doesn't require a lot of focus, focus,
yeah.
but the art is fun and the characters that pop up are great.
That's great. Pip the
Adam
Troll.
Adam Warlock, Galactus, the Watcher, of course, is in.
Yeah, it's just like they're trying to cram all the galactic Marvel heroes.
Exactly. Yes.
Oh my gosh. You're right. There's a Harlan Ellison reference. What else here? So you got, with 2 episode titles of based on novels of Isaac Asimov. Boy, they're going hardcore here.
They are. It's light sci-fi from heavy sci-fi fans or writers or sort of thing.
All right. I'm in. I'll watch this. This seems stupid and great.
It's stupid and great. It's worth watching.
I don't remember this even being on. So
no, I don't either.
Yeah. I watched a lot
one
of that
season
90s
on
stuff.
Fox Kids, so I can see.
Is that where it was? Okay.
Yeah. One season's. I mean, that means not a lot of people saw it, but I don't know. I like shit like that. All right. Well, there you have it, Steven. Always fun hanging and talking. What's going on at Major Spoilers that we should know about?
Well, we finally have recovered from our computer disaster, so all the podcasts will return this week.
Oh, my gosh.
So we're excited about that. And I think until we meet again, Scott and Brian, please, both of you, stay hydrated.
Oh, good, because that's important in Vegas where we're going. It's going to be hot and parching. Parchmenty? Parching? That's not parchment. That's a town in Italy.
That's a Greek town.
Yeah. or Greece. Yeah.
it isn't Greece. You're very good.
Throwback.
You can be taught.
I can learn things and retain them. It's fantastic. All right. Well done, everybody. Let's move on out of here. Quick note, no Monday show tonight. It will be on a Tuesday, which is really annoying because it's the Monday show on a Tuesday. And the reason we're doing that is Carter's getting a massive tattoo today. She's had scheduled for a long time, and it will cut way into the evening, so she will not even be here, so we'll do it Tuesday. So just let everybody
getting,
know.
A full sleeve done with the Harley Davidson logo, a naked woman holding an anchor,
yep.
and
100%. These are all true.
And for some reason, the Norman Reedus. I don't know why, but a picture of Norman Reedus' face.
Yeah, she doesn't even like The Walking Dead, and she's getting Norman Reedus.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Maybe she's
don't
a
boondock. But okay. Hey,
she likes Boondock Saints. She likes right, Death yes. Stranding. Sure, all those things. Anyway.
Yes. Oh, very good.
That'll do it for today's show. Quick note about, what was I going to say? Oh, something about Vegas. I can't remember. We're 2 weeks away, everybody. That's the truth of it. All right? It's no time, really, between now and then.
It's no time. Exactly.
And we're getting excited, but also there's a lot to do. So,
yeah,
you know, don't ask us for a bunch of extra shit between now and that time. We just can't do it.
Don't ask me for any extra shit. It's not happening.
Yeah. Don't say, hey, Brian, can you come get guest on my 3-hour show? Don't do it.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'll have to say no, but I'll do it afterwards. I promise.
Yeah. Especially in Brian's case. He's got a lot of crap to do. I got to fill a bunch of boxes. We got to figure out how I'm getting all this down there. There is a lot going on. So just know that for the next 2 weeks, you're going to get shows and it's going to be great. But just don't ask for extra stuff.
If you ask me to sign anything, it's going straight into the bin. I will throw it away with peace and love.
Peace and love. Peace
no
and
more
love.
Signed autographs and no more.
I should have had this ready. It's perfect for this conversation. Hold on. Hold on. I'm going to do it. Ringo. Okay. Here he is. He's right here.
So no more fan mail. Thank you, thank you. And no objects to be signed. Nothing. Anyway, peace and love, peace and love.
One of the greatest things ever put to tape. I
yes,
love it.
Yes, exactly.
All right, that's it. We're out of here. Frogpants.com/TMS will get you whatever you need, except for a song that I don't know about yet, so we're going to play it now. Brian, what's the song?
We talked about this guy. He has a birthday today. He's in the tadpole right now. His name is Sean. He was part of the great Seanening on America's Next Top Podcaster, one of the three Seans that got axed on the same week. He says, today I celebrate the 18th anniversary of my 21st birthday. Pause for Scott to do the math and or play a soundbite.
I know which one to play right here.
Happy birthday.
You're not getting the young one. Forget it.
He's under 40. It's also the second anniversary of the reboot of my podcast, The Part-Time Gamers. I want to thank Scott, Brian, and the Frog Pants community for my time on 8NTP. Without it, I wouldn't have gotten back into podcasting. It's an honor to be part of the community you good sirs have created. Signed, Sean. Yeah, and Hammond and I have been talking about ANTP and what it would take to bring that back, because we've been talking about the new format that Tom suggested a year ago at TMS Vegas, and we're definitely making it happen. I just got to get stuff together for the website for people to be able to submit a little bit more information than we currently have on there to get our contestants. And of course, I need to talk to our judges, one of which is hearing all this for the first time, that, you know, if he has the time right now with his busy, busy schedule to still be a judge. But we'll talk. And of course, yeah, I haven't talked to Monica. I haven't talked to you yet, Bobby, because really this is so, so early preliminary. But you, Bobby, are next on the list to talk to about this. So
there you go.
Because this is no small feat, and we need, this is a show that, because of how much stuff there is involved with it, needs a lot of financial backing. So anyway, yeah. We'll talk about that when the time comes. Hey, Sean says, sweat drips down your forehead as you approach your nemesis in the abandoned cathedral. You're armed with a combat knife, a gun with 3 bullets left, and an unshakable drive to kill this man. He's armed with a katana and the skill to kill any man with it. After a short but curt exchange of words, you pull your gun and aim as he draws and readies his sword. In the brief moments before the battle starts, the first beats of a song start playing. What that song is, I leave to the cover master.
Jeez.
It's Miley Cyrus's We Can't Stop is what I mean, you hear that. I mean, what else comes to mind, right? Everybody. That's what
sure.
comes to everybody.
Immediately, it's all I could think about while you were reading that. So.
That's right. But not performed by Miley Cyrus. This version is actually, you know, you think I'm joking? Listen to the opening strains of this song, which sound a little bit like a certain Eminem song. This is the version performed by Bastille for the BBC Radio 1's Live Lounge 2014. This was the number one song in the Coverville Countdown 10 years ago. 10 years ago.
Jeez.
This is Bastille and his cover of We Can't Stop.
Red cups and sweaty bodies everywhere. Hands in the air like we don't care. Cause we came to have so much fun now. Bet someone here might get some now. If you're not ready to go home, well, can I get a hell no? Cause we're gonna go all night till we see the sunlight. So la di di da da, we like to party. Dancing with my lady, doing whatever we want. Cause this is our house, these are our rules. We can't stop, and we won't stop. Can't you see it's we who own the night? Can't you see it's we who bout the life? And we can't stop, and we won't stop. We run things, they don't run. We don't take nothing from nobody. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So all my homegirls with the big butts, shaking it like we're in a strip club. Remember only dad can judge us. Forget the haters, cause somebody loves you. And everyone in line in the bathroom, queuing up to get into the bathroom. We all so turned up here, getting turned up, yeah, yeah. So la-di-di-da-day, we like to party. Dancing with my lady, doing whatever we want. And this is our house, these are our rules, and we can't stop, and we won't stop. Can't you see it's we who own the night? Can't you see it's we who bout the life? And we can't stop, and we won't stop. We run things, they don't run. We don't take nothing from nobody. Yeah, 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 yeah. His heart, his achy, breaky heart. I just don't think he'll understand. Oh, 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 don't break his heart, his achy, breaky heart. I just don't think he'll understand. Oh, oh, don't break his heart, his achy, breaky heart. I just don't think he'll understand. Can't you see it's she who owns the night? Can't you see it's she who bought the life? But she can't stop, and she won't stop. She runs things, they don't run. She don't take nothing from nobody. Yeah, yeah.
Get more at frogpants.com.
You guys sound kind of sparkly.